Well, brethren, when we look around the world and you think about the billions of people that have lived during history up to this point, so many of them had no clue of what was coming, of what their purpose was. A lot of them have been taught, you know, they become an angel, or maybe they're going to be reincarnated into some animal or some other person at some point, or others think, well, I'm just going to burn in hell. So all these ideas have been promoted out there, and I want us to think about how blessed we are to understand God's truth, to be able to hear that, to be called out of a world, and to recognize that God's holy days point to his great plan. They remind us of how he's going to work all this out. And so having our minds open to the truth of knowing why we exist, you know, our purpose, and what man is all about, and what God will do, it's just a blessing to be able to understand that. And at the end of the age, God will begin to wake up the world. You know, we've covered recently in the book of Revelation, those seven trumpets that blast away, and so many horrific events happen with those. And each person at that point will have a choice of how to respond to the alarm and the warning of the trumpets. You know, many, as it says, will refuse to repent, but others will turn and begin to look to God. So amazing events are set to happen at the sounding of those trumpets. It will be shocking on the one hand, and yet wonderful on the other hand, because we know the seventh trumpet is what when Christ returns. And so we have several themes that can be tied in with this day. One is that of war. There's a lot of war that comes with those seven trumpets. There's a time of judgment, but it's also a time of a resurrection that we're all looking forward to. So you think about that in the victory that Christ will have over everything as he puts away the kingdoms of this world and begins to reign supreme on this earth. Let's begin in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. Revelation 1 and verse 1. So in the coming years, God will make sure the whole earth hears his trumpet blasts. And that'll be interesting to think about. People that really never have stopped to focus on God, never to read his words, though that trumpet will get their attention. And none of us should ever say that we didn't receive proper warning. You know, God's warnings throughout the Bible are clear. They're obvious. They're loud if we look closely. So Revelation 1 and verse 1, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. So God wants us to know the things that are going to come upon this earth. He wants us, his people, to be aware of that. In fact, he's saying, don't be caught off guard, my children. I've given you plenty of warnings. Make sure you're keeping your eyes and ears open. Verse 2, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. So this is what John did. You know, he listened, he heard, he wrote these things down. Verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So three vital elements here. That if we are paying attention, God says, you better think about what I wrote. That I want you to read this, my words. I want you to hear them. Or in other words, I want you to understand what you're reading. And then I want you to keep it. Follow it. Abide by it. The word keep there in the Greek means to guard. By keeping your eyes on it. That's what God is asking us to do. It means to prevent escaping. So we can't let God's way and his word escape us. He said, I've given it to you. Hold on to it. Treasure it. That word keep means to fulfill a command, to hold fast, to watch or observe. Why does God tell us that? He says, because the time is near, or the season is near. And here we are living in the last days, and we know as we watch the world that things are drawing closer. And so God is reminding us to guard these prophecies and hold fast to them, because the kingdom is rapidly approaching. And I think you and I see that day by day. I've entitled this message, Listen to the Voice of God. Do we consider that God's voice is similar to a trumpet warning? We may not, but as we go through this message, I think we'll see that it ties together. And not just today on the Feast of Trumpets, but every day of our life, as we look at the words of God, it should be a warning to think about how we should live, what we should do, what we can look forward to. We know the Bible is the inspired word of God, and each statement is really a reminder, encouragement, or a warning to get ready for all that is coming. God is inviting us to live a certain way, a way that is so different than the people around us and the way we used to live. He's saying, come out of that and live differently. Let's drop down to verse 10 here in Revelation 1. And John continues with, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. So, brethren, the term there, Lord's day, it's in the Greek, it's Kyriakos Hemera. But that same phrase is better translated in 1 Thessalonians 5 as the day of the Lord. So a lot of people in the world, you know, think, oh, Lord's day, and they apply that to Sunday. But this is being referred to, and it's shown by other scriptures, it's referring to that day of the Lord, the time of God's wrath on the nations just ahead of us, for the direction man is taking. And John has shown a future time when God will correct the world because they have disobeyed, they have gone astray, and they have ignored his words. Now, none of us can say that God hasn't given us a proper warning. We've been invited, our eyes have been opened, and we have an opportunity to serve God. We have the freedom to even come here, to have this Bible. There's been times in history when people were not allowed to have a Bible, have the words of God, or to have the freedom to assemble. We have that, at least at this time. And in verse 10, there's this miraculous voice that sounds like a trumpet. I want you to think about that. The first part of verse 11 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And then it goes on to say more, but John is telling us that God's voice can sound like a trumpet. So what he's speaking is a warning, and it's an alarm to us. And we should heed those warnings from God as if somebody was actually sounding a trumpet, like they did in the old days, as a time to go to war, whatever it might be. Brother, my focus today is to remind us that if we don't listen to God's voice, then we will not receive of the blessings that he has written down for us, that he wants to give to us and all of mankind. We know God's plan is awesome. We realize that the Father is going to send his Son back to take over, to change things, to improve things. And there's a time coming when we will be resurrected. I mean, that's hard to grasp, isn't it? To literally think about our physical bodies with all our aches and pains and all our problems and worries, that God says, I'm going to change you into spirit. And to think about these amazing prophecies. Turn with me next to Ezekiel 33 and verse 1. Ezekiel 33 and verse 1. So many of us know that Ezekiel's commission was to be a watchman for God's people. And he warned of the impending danger that was around them at that time. And so as we read, and as you read the book of Ezekiel at other times, you see that there's a lot of messages referring to the house of Israel, even to the northern 10 tribes, but they had already gone into captivity. So I want us to remember then that is God late in this message? No, he's referring to them. They might have heard this later in captivity, but he gave the warning message for so many others to consider. Portions of Ezekiel are primarily for end-time descendants of Israel. You think about Jacob's trouble, which is the time of great tribulation, God was warning us as a part of Israel. And so scripture reveals the importance of listening to every word of God. Notice here in Ezekiel 33, in verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring a sword upon the land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. Verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. And so this feast is basically a reminder to get ready, to really stop and think about, are we listening to the voice of God as a reminder of all that is coming? Because our Heavenly Father, very loving and merciful, is saying, I want my children to be prepared for the events on the horizon. You know, Paul states in Hebrews 4 that God's word is living and powerful. So we need to be looking at that, because that is the voice of God speaking to us. He tells us it's sharper than any two-edged sword, that it literally discerns our thoughts and the intents of our heart. And so it's vital that we listen to God's voice, but not only do that, but to take action then, to do something about what we read. And if we don't, we will deeply regret it. So the responsibility of a watchman applies to so many in society. It applies to the ministry, you know, that we have to help and serve. It applies to parents as you raise your children, as you give them warnings. It applies to all of us as members, you know, to be a light and to be watching the times and how we're living. So all of us need to be aware of what's going on. And to avoid God's wrath, we need to listen to every single warning that he gives. Everyone is important. This feast is a reminder of that. And for example, you think how all of us can ignore many instructions that come from God, just as the Israelites did. You think about that. Israel, they ignored it. They didn't listen. They went through a lot of pain and suffering, and they went into captivity. Judah, the same thing. After they watched Israel, their brother, go into captivity, they eventually ended up the same way. Let's look at verse 10 in Ezekiel 33. It says, therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Aren't those powerful words? I mean, it's a loving parent warning his children to really stop and think about how we're living, because our choices will determine whether we're granted salvation. I know all of us want to be saved, and that we desire it, but we need to show it through how we live our lives. And so it's referring to Israel here, but many forms of that. Ancient Israel, who didn't heed the voice, is referring to, you know, modern-day Israel. Our country and other English-speaking is referring to the church, which is spiritual Israel. And so God is giving this warning to those who could and should listen. So we need to be careful, that we carefully pay attention to these words. You know, Paul makes a statement in Romans 2:29. He says that we're to be Jews inwardly. And he goes on to say, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. So God is asking all of us to be spiritual Jews in that sense, a part of the house of Israel, but to be growing through the Holy Spirit. And one day he's going to bring everybody into his family. So that's why in Galatians 6, verse 16, Paul refers to the church as the Israel of God. He wants us to recognize that when he speaks to Israel, he's speaking to us on some level. And that ties in with what the Apostle Peter wrote, I believe in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, where he says, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is how God views us, but he invites us to keep growing so that we can fulfill that role. Why does he do that? It goes on to say there, so that we can declare his praises for calling us out of the darkness. That's what he's done. That's what he continues to do and will do even more so as he invites the rest of humanity in the coming ages to learn of his ways. So God is speaking to us just as he did to the house of Israel. You know what they said after God told them these things? They said, everything you say, we will do. Isn't that what we've done as we commit to God through baptism? We're basically committing to God that we will follow your words, we will walk in this way, we will look to the example of Jesus Christ so that you will be pleased, so that we can be ready to be the bride of Christ and the children of the Most High. Turn with me now to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. Exodus 19 and verse 5. So just a little background here. Israel had departed from Egypt just 2 months prior to this. So they're still thinking about all that. They're kind of getting used to this marching. And God wanted to speak them, speak to all his children there. So he told Moses, get them ready. So let's just read a little bit, starting in verse 5 of Exodus 19. He says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So God directed Moses to relay this message, very similar to what Peter tells us in the New Testament, that God says, I want to count you as holy and special and chosen. And so ancient Israel didn't listen. You know, think about the 600,000 men of war as they came out of Egypt when they were numbered, that very few of them made it into the Promised Land. They drifted, they wandered, they complained, and we need to learn from that and make sure we're not following that example, in that, a poor example that is, of not listening to the voice of God. Through Ezekiel, we are warned to turn from worldly ways so that we can enter the kingdom of God, similar to a Promised Land. That's what God is inviting us into on a spiritual level. And so this Feast of Trumpets is a reminder of the many promises that God has in store for us. Not only will Christ return and set up his kingdom, but he will raise up his saints. That's you and I, to be raised from the ground, or those that are alive, to be changed instantly. And so not just anyone will God do that to. No, the whole world, not at that time. This is the spirit life for those who are willing to follow God, those who are chosen and faithful, which is referring to us, and we have to listen to that warning, to hang on to the very end. And so therefore we decide whether we'll be in the kingdom. It's offered to us, but you and I decide whether we'll be there. And it should stagger our mind to comprehend that all God wants to share with us, but we know his plan will be accomplished. Not one of us will hold back his plan. And so children and adults, I speak to all of us, that we have choices to make, because our actions show whether we really, truly want to be in the kingdom of God. The mouth alone isn't enough to say, God, I want to be there. Or like Israel, all you say we will do. That wasn't enough, because they didn't fulfill those words in how they lived. And so as we observe this feast each year, it allows God to open our eyes. It helps us to improve our understanding. And that's what God is inviting us to do. And so, you know, God is saying to all of us, thank you for coming. Thank you for assembling and hearing, not my words, but his words. That's what he's telling us. Each day of life is an opportunity to grow, to develop, to mature, and to prepare for all that is coming. You know, a coming government that is so different than what we see even in this nation. I mean, we look at the leaders and we go, what is going on? The problems aren't being fixed. Things are getting worse. But God says, I'm going to come and fix all that. Let's look at verse 8 here, the same chapter. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. I mean, you know, God already knew that. He already heard this, but Moses relays that. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. So that's amazing, the responsibility Moses had here to pass on that information. We have a lot to think about. And so God gives rules to follow. And so Moses has the people clean up, wash your clothes, prepare to meet God, prepare to come before him. And so they did that on a physical level. But if you think about it for us, as we approach God, that's why we dress up on the Sabbath day. We're coming before God. He's here in presence. We cannot see him, but we believe that. We know that. And he's asking us to be purified spiritually as well, to have a relationship with him, to be willing to put away sin day by day so that we can be cleansed and washed through the blood of Christ, so that we can stand before God and continue to learn from him, just as the people of Israel did at that time. Notice verse 16. Then it came to pass on the third day, so the people had been cleaned up, Okay? They're standing here ready to hear God. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. I don't think we can imagine how loud that would be. Because this isn't any physical trumpet. This is a miraculous trumpet sound with God preparing to speak to them. And so we need to think about that. Throughout history, one of the main ways that was used to alarm people, to warn people, to get them ready, was the sound of warning. And they did that through the trumpet because of the way it carried for miles and people could hear it far away. As we observe this Feast of Trumpets, God is wanting our undivided attention. He's saying, listen to my voice, just as he was to the children of Israel. And it's up to us whether we truly want to hear those words and live by them. So do we grasp what God is offering us and what he's inviting us to do and how he's preparing us for the events that are coming? We know what's on the horizon. Bad events, good events, you know. Those trumpet plagues won't be good, but then the return of Christ and the coming kingdom will happen right after that. And we need to look forward to all those things in a way to prepare for them. And so God here is meeting with Israel and making himself known to them. And so we come here to meet with God. In a sense, he's hosting us and he's inviting us as to come before him and to be feasting on his word, to learn of his ways. And every holy day is an appointment with God. If you compare that to a job interview, let's say you've been out of work for a good while. You really need a job to provide for yourself and your family. If you had a good job offer come in, would you miss an appointment when they said, meet me here on this day at this time? I think you would say, man, I got to have all my clothes ready. I got to leave early in case of traffic. You do all this planning to meet with God. We would never say to that person interviewing us, you know what? It's too far. I'm not going to drive there and meet you. Or I'm too tired today. Can we make it another day? No, I mean, we would want to go there and impress and dress our best and be ready to go back and forth to see if they're ready for us to join their company and we're ready to do that. But if we weren't ready for that, shame on us. And that's just a physical job. Think about what God's inviting us to do. I mean, even this Sabbath day, to think about how every one of God's feast days, including every weekly Sabbath, is an opportunity. And he calls it a holy convocation. And I've always found that amazing, that not only the day is holy, but the meeting itself, and that God is asking us to really think about this appointment, that he says, come, my children, come and meet with me, hear my words, listen to my directions so that you can have life, that you can have blessings. And so that word in Hebrew, or I should say in Leviticus 23, the word feast literally means an appointed place or time or a meeting. But when God calls us to his feast, that is what he's doing. And so that holy convocation is not only that day, but actually the meeting together with God, because we're in his presence. Let's look at verse 17. Here the people are standing before God, and Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. So I just want you to picture that today, and every annual and weekly Sabbath, we're coming to meet before God just like this. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Wow. Can you imagine this? You know, 4 months later, Israel was keeping their first Feast of Trumpets. And as they did that, just like we're sitting today, if this was our first and we had experienced that 4 months ago, standing at Mount Sinai and hearing that trumpet, we would have thought of that and how loud and powerful God is. This would have come to their mind. And so Israel heard a miraculous trumpet sound, and then they trembled in fear because of what was happening here. And so we should have that deep respect, the fear of God, having that awe for him as we assemble each week. We don't ever want to take that for granted. And so as God is saying, you know, when you hear the trumpet or when you hear the thunder, however he utters his voice, he's saying, listen, Listen to what I'm saying. Consider what I'm planning for you and how I want to direct you. And so the seven trumpets, prior to Christ's return, will get everyone's attention. My point is this. You and I cannot wait till then because God has asked us now. He's saying, I want your attention now because you have the potential to be first fruits. Those others, I'm going to call then and wake them up. And we need to respond now. So we need to look closely and recognize the world is a mess out there. And thankfully, we don't see it all. I know we do not fully recognize how bad it is. There are people suffering in ways we cannot imagine. But we are told in the scriptures, unless God returns, no flesh will be saved alive. No one. So we are thankful that he is coming, that he will change things. And therefore, we need to listen to God's warnings because they are going to get louder. As we look at the world and signs of the times continue, we should be able to hear them loud and clear. So we should ask ourselves, what is our spiritual state? You know, if Christ was to come sooner than we think, would we be ready? If he was to return today, so to speak, are we truly ready? Have we been growing this past year, doing those things that God is inviting us to do? Because he tells us, be holy, for I am holy. And sometimes in our daily lives, we don't really stop to think about that trumpet warning in his voice to do that. Turn with me next to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers 10 and verse 1. Here we see the trumpets that were used at Israel's time, ancient Israel, that is. And so let's read a few verses here. Numbers 10, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. When they blow both of them, all of the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. So look at all the rules. The people had to learn this. God says, basically, he was speaking to them through the trumpet. Here's what I want. Moses, do this, and the people know what that meant. It's no different today as we pick up the Bible, the Word of God. You know, this is like a trumpet sounding, God saying, do this, you know, change this, work on this, get along with one another, love each other, forgive each other. And so these are all directions by God that he gives us. And so the word blast in the Bible here, so it says a blast of a trumpet. You think about that. That's what God says. And that word in the Hebrew means to call aloud or a proclamation, a thundering voice. And so it's as if God is saying, when you hear the trumpet, when you hear that thunder, think about me speaking to you, Israel, or the church, or whoever it is, the nation. Our nation should be following God as descendants of Israel. And so today is a memorial of what God is bringing us into. So here in Numbers, you know, you think about the various trumpet sounds and how they represent God's voice. And we have to think about, just as he told them what to do, he's asking us to consider the same thing. You know, at times it was assemble the people, or go to war, go here, move camp, march forward. Verse 9, when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets. And you will be remembered before the Eternal, your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Verse 10, also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Eternal, your God. Once again, God was speaking to them through these trumpet blasts. And to be saved from their enemy, they had to follow. You know, it's time to retreat, trying to move forward, whatever it was. And so that trumpet sent a message, and it really reminded them of God's voice. And that's how we should view the Bible today. And so it was a type of alarm. It was meant to get the people's attention. You know, it's kind of like, what is going on? What is God trying to say to us? And to move them to action. And so today we should look at this festival in a similar way. God is saying, I am preparing you for the things that are coming. Because we know what this day pictures with the resurrection of the saints and the return of Christ, but there's all these things that happen prior to that. And God says, I'm giving you warning in preparing for that. God has always wanted his children to listen to his voice, to listen to his commandments. There's no other way to move forward. And that's what he's inviting us to do. So whether God speaks by the blowing of a trumpet or the words in the Bible, either way, he wants his people to listen carefully. And think about this, God never gives a false alarm, not once, ever. Like some people give a false alarm, like, oops, I told you all to gather and it was an emergency, but no, it changed. No, God knows exactly. So when he says something is going to happen, we better really pay close attention. Every word provides understanding as we read the Bible. It sheds light on things that are happening or our purpose in life. It's all beautiful. God is offering us a vision of what is coming. And so his word is so important that he even reminds us that. He goes, you know, I speak all these things, but then he has to tell us things like in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He's saying, if you don't get that, just realize if you don't have my words, you really aren't going to be fed properly. Or in Isaiah 66 and verse 2, where he tells the prophet to say, on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. So the word poor there, you know, that means lowly or humble, not without money. No, it means not high and mighty in attitude, but lowly, looking to God as the great one. And so the Apostle John, when he says God's words are spirit and they are life, we need to recognize that because he's asking us to tremble or to deeply respect his words. As Christians, we can't afford to ignore God's warnings. So do we hear these verses as trumpet warnings, as the voice of God speaking clearly to us? We need to separate ourselves from anything that can pull us away from God, to come out of the world more than we have, and to be on fire for what God is saying, this is what I'm going to do for you, and I need you, my children, to prepare for it. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 13. 2 Chronicles 13 and verse 12. So I use this example here because there's a king back in that time who didn't listen. Just as God's saying to all of us, I need you to listen. So look at what happens when one of the kings didn't listen. So King Jeroboam is ruling Israel. He has 800,000 men of war, tremendous military. Judah, ruled by King Abijah at that time, has 400,000. So twice as many by the king of Israel. So let's pick it up in verse 12. You already know how the men would be thinking. You know, you mean they have an army twice as big as us? Or the other one says, we got this made. We've got 800,000 men. But look at how God works things out. And here God had told these kings certain things to do and not do, and they didn't listen. Verse 12. Now look, God himself is with us as our head, and his priests with sounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you, O children of Israel. Then he says, do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. So Israel wanted to go to war against Judah, and God is telling him, don't. I've even sounded the trumpet. The priests have done it. You're not listening. And so we all fight God at times, don't we? Just like the king here, he was fighting against God. And when we do that, we don't win. And we struggle in different areas of life. You know, all of us struggle. Somebody might struggle with keeping their tithes faithfully. Somebody else might be with their attendance coming to church when they're able, that they go, no, stay home, take it easy. Others struggle with attending the feast. You know, God commands us to keep the feast. Others say, oh, I'll just hang out here. I'll tune in maybe. Others, you know, do things that amaze God, and he says, you don't really have a good excuse. So let's read a few more verses here and see how this turns out, because I know the Israelites and their military, they thought, we've got this battle won. Verse 13, but Jeroboam caused an ambush to go around behind them. So they were in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them. So they not only had double the men, but now, like, we got you socked in here. You cannot get out. And when Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was at both front and rear. And they cried out to the Eternal, and the priests sounded the trumpets. Once again, you know, here's like following God. They cry out to God. That's what we should do when we get into a problem, when we feel surrounded by issues, is always go to God first. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it happened that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. Then Abijah and his people struck them with a great slaughter, so 500,000 choice men of Israel fell slain. You see what God can do? He can do anything. When the odds are against us, he has the ability to direct and guide and lift us up, even when we don't think we can make it. And so, brethren, we need to really think about that. Here, 500,000 men died because a king wasn't willing to listen. And I say this to us as future kings and queens, as future priests in God's family, we need to listen now so that we're going to be accepted into the kingdom, so God knows we will follow the rules. As spiritual Israel, we are required to surrender to God and to listen to every one of his words. As kids, I know we fight against our parents. It comes so natural. Our parents say something, I go, what are they saying? They don't know. They don't understand. But we do the same thing. You know, if we as kids only listened to our parents, we would have been so much better off. And our parents were physical. Sometimes maybe they didn't make the right decision. But overall, we would have been so much better off if we followed everything they said. Well, the same goes for us spiritually with our parent, our spiritual father. We need to follow more so the example of Abraham. You know, can you imagine being asked to slay your son, which son of promise? Like, God, you gave this to me. I don't need to kill him, even though you're telling me to, but you promised him to me. But that's how we can reason around things. And so are we like King Jeroboam, that we try to do things our own way instead of following God? And I think all of us can say yes to that in one way or another. This holy day helps us to picture all God has in store for us. He wants us to seek his kingdom more fully than we do. Does that make sense? You know, to really strive better than we are, to grow to a deeper level, to be more like Jesus Christ. Think for a moment how God views all this. You know, he laid out this amazing plan before the foundation of the earth. So way back then, he's excited about it. He's anticipating a time when he will bring his family, his sons and daughters, into his realm, change them. And I'm sure he and Jesus Christ are talking about it daily. Like, wow, we're waiting for our children. We can't wait for them to be born into our family. And so, brethren, we need to think about all that God has done and how he's watched these events take place over the 6,000 years of man's time, and how we've made poor choices. Man has rejected his laws. We've, you know, taken of the tree of good knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life. And so man continues to do that. And finally, God says, but wait, my children, I've called you out. The time is near. I'm going to change everything. I'm going to wake up the world and teach of my excellent way, a way of love, a way of peace, a beautiful time of joy. And so this is what we believe in, but we have to show it once again by the way we live. And our daily decisions show God whether we truly want to be in his kingdom. Some days our choices are not so good, and yet we're so blessed because God says you can repent of that. You can say, I'm sorry. You can move forward and keep growing. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. We'll read a few verses here throughout the book of Thessalonians. We'll start in chapter 1 and verse 7. Because God inspired Paul to help us to think about our mindset, what we need to be preparing for. Chapter 1, verse 7, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. This should be reflected through us as well, that people can look and see the lights, the examples that shine brightly. Verse 9, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Brethren, as we look at this, the focus was all on the return of Jesus Christ. It's the same today, you know, a couple thousand years later, and we need to be living just as the Thessalonians were. God is asking us to do that. And we know he can deliver us from the tribulation. He tells us, you know, pray that you're counted worthy to escape it. So we know he wants us to be safe. He asks us to be thinking about that and actually reaching out to God and saying, please count me worthy, even though we know we won't be. Chapter 2, verse 19. We'll just hit a few things here throughout Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. This is what Paul wanted. This is what we should all want, to be there with Jesus Christ at his return. I mean, we don't know when he'll return. But whatever time that is, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years, 20, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. God is saying, are we preparing? Are we thinking about that? How often do we meditate on our future? This is what God asked us to do. Our resurrection to spirit life, as it refers to here, our dwelling with the Most High for the rest of eternity, beautiful things that God's saying, think on these things. We're so blessed to understand the holy days because they do reveal the very plan of God in more detail than anywhere else we could ever come up with. We can go into the world and search out things, but they don't have these answers. Let's look at chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul continues with, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Why? He says, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Once again, every verse is like it refers to us, you know, the saints getting ready for the kingdom. He's preparing our hearts. He's establishing us. And so chapter 4 discusses more about the resurrection of the saints. We should be talking about that. Let's actually look at 4 verse 16. Chapter 4 here in 1 Thessalonians verse 16, which says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. So this is what Paul was saying some 2,000 years ago. We need to comfort each other at this time. And all, you know, the remaining time we have before this actually takes place. If we really believe these things, it should motivate us to discuss it more. So at Sabbath services or the annual holy days, as children, I think God is inviting all of us, think about what you talk about. You know, just consider that you're coming into my presence, and I want you to be talking about the kingdom of God more. I want you to be discussing, and not only that, but encouraging one another to go towards that. and to grow more, because the time is coming when those opportunities can be taken away. I mentioned Mr. King in the hospital. He's very limited. He can't pick up the Bible and read it as you and I can. He's so weak, he can't get out of bed to do anything. And so if that happens, God's still giving him life to grow a little bit, hopefully in his thoughts, and maybe healing him to do more. But if we were in that situation, what would we do? And then we think, well, wait, I'm still in this situation, which is so much better. Am I using my time? Am I redeeming it? Because tomorrow, I don't know if I can see or hear or any. I don't even know if I have life. So God is asking us that. Let's look at chapter 5 and verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons. So that's really what we're talking about. The Feast of Trumpets, picturing so much on the horizon. And here we are living in the last days. And it says, concerning that, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly. Do we know this, brother? This is what it's saying. You know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Are you prepared for that time? Am I prepared for it? Because it is coming. And you know how a thief sneaks up on us. You know, whether it's somebody's breaking into your car, into your house, into your business. It comes, you just don't expect it. It happens, you're like, I didn't see that coming. Well, God says this is going to happen. And he's writing this to us. The world definitely won't see it happen. I think he's saying to his children, if you're not careful, you won't even see it happening. And so he's inviting us to really think about that. God's holy days remind us to really get excited about the plan of God. To really say, you know, it is on the horizon. It could be just a short ways away. Or even if it's beyond the end of my life, it doesn't matter. Because this life is all I have in order to get ready for that. And sometimes we put it off thinking, well, I can do that later. No, that's not what God recommends. Verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. They wouldn't surprise me if some of us fall into that. We do not escape. Why? Because we don't listen to the voice of God. We don't act on what we've read and heard. We don't invite God's Spirit to lead us. We're so busy with our work. We're so busy with everything and distractions that we just really can't stop and say, God's blasting out to me saying, children, don't let this happen. And he says it will happen just this way, like a thief in the night, unless we're really close to God, in tune with him, in tune with the brethren, the activities, the services. We're brethren. We're a family. We're to be one like the Father in Jesus Christ. And he's inviting us to get ready for these events which are just ahead of us. Verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. You know, we read about the churches in Revelation and how the Laodiceans were half asleep. They were cold. They were lukewarm. I mean, they just weren't growing and developing. And that's some of God's people down through the ages. He's saying we need to wake up. We need to get heated up. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. It's a tremendous blessing to think that God provides spiritual armor for us. He says, here, it's free, put it on. And it's up to us whether to clothe ourselves with his spiritual armor. At times we don't. Verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, and that's what's coming, brother. A time of wrath, the day of the Lord, the great tribulation, he didn't appoint us to go through that. He's asked us to live up to what we should be so we can escape that. He did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, meaning whether we're alive or dead, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort one another and edify one another just as you also are doing. So we can even do better in that. And not only talking about it, but comforting one another. Because we all go through our trials and our tests, our aches and pains, and God is inviting us to truly be a family and to get along, to really put aside our differences and say, you know, it's time for me to grow up and to think about God, his plan, and my part in it. And then to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. And then these short verses that we're familiar with, rejoice always. We need to think about that more. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Verse 23, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brings us right back around to this day, doesn't it? The seventh trumpet, the return of Jesus Christ, and all these things we need to be working on so that we are ready. So once again, are we listening to the voice of God? Turn with me to Jeremiah 4 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 4. And verse 5. You know, God instructed all of his prophets to warn his people. Here we see one of Jeremiah's warnings, not only to the people of that time, but to us as well. Jeremiah 4 and verse 5. He says, declare in Judah, proclaim in Jerusalem, and say, blow the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the fortified cities. Brethren, just as Jeremiah was warning back then, disaster will come to the whole world. But to this nation, where we live, to our very home, there is a point coming when all these things will take place, whether it's war and destruction or nuclear. Only God knows exactly how all that'll play out, but we have to wake up and do the things he says, just as Jeremiah was proclaiming this thousands of years ago. It still applies today, because we know the cities will be destroyed. They will become desolate. People will be astonished, and we will too, actually. When those things happen, even though we've read about it, I think we'll shake our heads and go, I didn't picture it this way or that bad, but it's going to that point. Verse 14, here in the same chapter, O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. How long shall your evil thoughts lodge within you? So this is the reason that we may have to go through terrible times. If we're not willing to let go of those things that we cling to, you know, the worldly things that God says, let go of it. Don't carry that along. Verse 19, O my soul, I am pained in my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. So, brethren, that time is coming, and we don't have to wait till then to be all stirred up and upset and astonished. God is saying today, you know, while we still have time and opportunity to really think about these things and to change our lives even more than we have, are we pained in our heart as we hear these warnings? Because even if we escape it, there's going to be family members and our neighbors and relatives that will go through this. And so we should say, you know, thy kingdom come. And these things are going to happen, but we're looking to beyond as well. And so the voice of God is warning us to get ready now. He's basically saying, be about your Father's business. We're talking spiritual Father here. We're talking about the excitement of the kingdom of God and all that God has planned. And so I mentioned to children as well, this is just as much for you as your parents. Because you may think, well, I have more time. I have a future. I'll put that off. No. What if Christ comes before you go to college? For some of you in your teen years, that's not too far away. You can't wait until later on I'll decide if I really want to follow God. Or to say, well, I'll wait till I get married, and then I'll think more about this. I'll be serious about it. But God is asking all of us, including our children, to get serious about his warning of not only the kingdom and the return of Christ, but the events prior to that, so that we are ready for these things. None of us would want to experience the times of trouble that are coming on the horizon. Isaiah 58, verse 1, I'll just refer to that. It says, lift up your voice like a trumpet. So once again, here the voice of God is compared to a trumpet. Lift up your voice, tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. So are we preparing our lives so that we are ready for everything that will come? We should ask ourselves, are we listening to the voice of God? So brethren, let me just comment here. This is one thing I've noticed all throughout my life. It applies to me as well. It's so easy for us to look at others. So let me just look at all of you. And I can see what you're doing wrong and you're doing wrong. You know what I'm saying? I'm just all of you. And you're saying the same thing of me and everyone else. And God is saying, stop focusing on what everyone else is doing. You have to work on yourself. If you see a problem, you can encourage them. You can pray for them. You can help them. But we can't change them. God says you have to change yourselves. And you know how hard that is? Some of us are still struggling with things from 20, 30, 50 years ago. And so God says, focus on that. If you keep focusing on those people are doing that and those individuals, we'll never get anywhere. It takes all our energy. And God says, look inward to our hearts instead of trying to say, oh, your heart's this way and you're not doing well there. So God is inviting us to see things differently. And he will help us to see our own hearts and know how to grow in love, even with a group. We're all sinful. We all break down, but God is bringing us along like we did our children. He wants the best for us. Let's turn in closing to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7 and verse 14. So as we think about the warnings in the Bible, you know, Israel didn't pay attention to them. Judah did not pay attention to them. Our nation, who were built on principles that came out of the Bible, we are ignoring them as well. And we see our direction. As a church, we've been invited. And so if we believe these words of God that we've barely touched on today, then as John stated, we need to read them. We need to hear and understand them. We need to keep them. That's what he's asking us to do. Daniel 7 and verse 14. He says, then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. So everyone in the future will serve Jesus Christ. They will be taught of that way, and we will have a part in that. And so now is our chance to show if we're willing to prepare for that. Verse 18. But the saints, so stop and listen, everyone. Put your name in there. If you really want this way, you can do that. If you don't, then you can ignore it. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And we could just keep adding to that, ever, ever, because it's going to go on and on, a beautiful realm, a glorious kingdom that God is inviting us into. And so we should be willing to give up anything in this life that can't be taken into the kingdom. You know, if we cling to that sin or that problem, that habit, God says that can't come in. And so God can resurrect us. God is planning to do that. But he wants to resurrect those that are willing to obey, willing to follow, willing to honor him with all their heart. Verse 27. Then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. Brethren, that's us. We don't deserve that, but here it's telling us this is what God's plan is for his children, to give us the kingdom, to bring us into it, and to be a part of it, and to help rule. We don't deserve that. And if we truly want that, if we truly believe it, it all comes down to putting that into, like, I need to get ready for it. I need to change my life, the way I think, the way I talk, you know, my habits, whatever it is. God's saying, look at yourself, inspect closely. Examine yourself, because we need to see ourselves as God sees us. That's the goal for us, to see as he sees us, because until we do that, we will not truly change all the things that he is desiring for us to do. And so the saints here, those that are led by God's Spirit, those that are living by God's laws, those that desire to develop a close relationship, those are the ones that are going to rule together with God in the kingdom. And this day pictures that. The opportunity to be excited about that, to talk about it, and to live according to that way. So, brethren, this is this promise that God offers throughout the pages of the Bible, as we bring it all together, it's a glorious promise. And it is directed right to us, and eventually to everyone. It just will come in stages. And so the kingdom is approaching, and we have the privilege to become the very children of God. We must never forget that. We must live our lives so that we're continually thinking about that. And right now we are in training to teach the nations about the plan of God. We have a long ways to go. I mean, there's things I read, I go, I don't fully understand that, or I forgot about that. We're all growing and developing together. And so next week we'll observe the Day of Atonement. We know that pictures an excellent and wonderful part in God's plan of removing Satan, the cause of so much pain. He's a murderer, a liar, the accuser of the brethren. God has a time when he's going to set him aside for 1,000 years. We look forward to that. And so as we think about, you know, overall what we've discussed on a minor level here today, the trumpet can be heard a long ways off. And God is using his voice like a trumpet through the words of the Bible, his voice. And he's, you know, in a sense, shouting out, like, everybody can hear me, but will you, as it said in Revelation 1, will you read my words? Will you hear them or understand them? Will you keep them? He's inviting us to do that. And so this day means all that and more. I'm just taking one little concept here and throwing it out there that we need to show deep respect to our great God. And how do we do that? By listening to his voice. Have a great rest of the Feast of Trumpets.